Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to the last hour of At Your Service this evening. Brad Young sitting in, and I always forget to give an email address, and I want to give that out because I always enjoy hearing from listeners. The email address of my law firm, it's byoung, B-Y-O-U-N-G, at harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S, as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L. I always enjoy hearing from listeners, and I respond to every email. So if you want to shoot me an email, something you heard on the show, a topic you want me to cover, just want to complain about the sound of my voice, doesn't matter, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to respond, even to the critical ones. I mean, I especially like the critical ones, just like I especially like when folks call in to disagree with me, because that's, frankly, that's a lot of fun. Kind of like negotiating with car dealerships to buy cars. I love doing that. Love it. And most people cringe, but I think it's a lot of fun. I would actually pay to do that. Anyway, one of the things that that wasn't a lot of fun necessarily was last night's State of the Union address. And I always watch State of the Union addresses. Doesn't matter who's the president. I watch everyone. And a couple of things that jumped out at me, and if you've got some ideas and want to call in, 314-436-7900. A couple of things here. First of all, when President Biden was talking about jobs being added, he talked about he's added 12 million new jobs, the most of any president ever, 12 million new jobs. Well, according to his own government, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, Biden has only added 2.7 million overall jobs. So he only exaggerated it by, what, 450%? So that's not too bad for a politician. Not too bad at all. But when he talked about guns, this is one of the things that gets me. And I was really hoping, I was crossing my fingers that he would say, talking about gun control, that he would say, you know, you when the Second Amendment was ratified, you couldn't go out and buy a cannon. And two things. First of all, he may have actually remembered when the Second Amendment was initially passed in 1789. He may have actually been there. I don't know. But the fact is, you could buy a cannon in 1789. You could go out and buy a cannon in 1889. You could go out and buy a cannon in 1929. It wasn't, I think, until the 1930s that buying a cannon was regulated in any way. So I just love it when he throws out that stat, because it's just blatantly wrong is what it is. But he talked about gun control, banning assault weapons. And my wife often tells me, Brad, you know, save it for Camo X. But one of the things that he said was, is that we should ban assault weapons. Well, maybe President Biden's not aware, but assault weapons are banned. You cannot buy assault weapons in this country. An assault weapon, by definition, is an automatic weapon. Automatic weapons have been banned for decades and decades. You can't own them. Now, you can modify, and some people have done that, where you modify semi-automatic weapons to fire in a full auto mode, but that's illegal. It's already illegal. So we've already banned assault weapons. And the other problem that I had as we were talking about weapons is he said that talking about the gun control ban that went into effect, or the gun control laws that went into effect in 1994 and expired in 2004. He said it was a great success, I believe is the term that he used. Well, what's interesting is nobody really says it's a great success. Every study that's been done, I've researched it today, every study that's been done has shown at most it was inconclusive. I mean, even these great stalwarts of conservatism, like the Washington Post and the New York Times, said that either there was no benefit from the gun ban or that it was inconclusive. So I'm not aware of any study that showed that that 10-year gun ban accomplished anything. It just didn't. So there's no reason to believe that it would accomplish anything now. Furthermore, after that, after the 2000 or the 1994 gun ban went into effect, the Supreme Court ruled in the landmark case of Heller versus New York that people have a Second Amendment right to own weapons. And we've seen many of these state gun bans, including the one right next door to Missouri and Illinois, has been ruled unconstitutional. And there's no reason to believe that any federal act or action to try to ban so-called assault weapons. And when he talks about that, he's really talking about semi-automatic rifles and semi-automatic pistols, neither of which are assault weapons. But be that as it may, even if you would pass such a ban under the current Supreme Court precedent, those would be stricken down as being unconstitutional. So not only is he wrong in what he talks about being futile, it would also be arguably unconstitutional. And we'll find that out, because I promise you with 98.6% certainty that once that Illinois gun ban goes up to the Supreme Court, it'll be stricken down as being unconstitutional, just like the Supreme Court did to multiple laws in New York and Washington, D.C. So those are some of the problems. But I got to tell you, one of the issues that I had with the State of the Union address, not talking about Democrats, it was with Republicans. I'm sorry, but I want our legislators to operate with a sense of decorum. I really do. And so when Joe Wilson yelled out liar a couple of years ago, several years ago, in the State of the Union address, I didn't like it. I was outraged when Nancy Pelosi ripped up President Trump's speech while she was standing right behind him. I was outraged by that. Not because she's a Democrat, not because it was President Trump that was speaking, but it was because you are an elected official and there's a certain amount of civility and decorum that should go along with that position. And when we had Republicans screaming last night, including Marjorie Taylor Greene, that is not professional. And I don't believe it upholds the standards and the expectations of people who hold those offices. Now, afterwards, you can go on any cable channel. whether it's Fox News or whether it's MSNBC, depending on your political persuasion, and say anything that you want in terms of what the president said being fantastic or terrible. But in that chamber, you're representing our country, and that is not the time to boo the president, even if you disagree with him. And unfortunately, I think President Biden suckered some of those Republicans in because he specifically said things to garner that kind of a reaction. And so to me, I thought that they got duped into looking foolish on television, and the president looked presidential. And that was because they fell for it. And that's unfortunate. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a similar topic. I'm going to bring in Sean Michael Lyle to talk about, right here in Missouri, the Chief Justice of the Missouri Supreme Court, Paul Wilson, gave his State of the Judiciary speech. And we're going to break that down with Sean Michael Lyle here next on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Trusted information, live and local. From the award-winning KMOX Newsroom.
Welcome back to At Your Service, Brad Young in this evening. And I wanted to bring in Sean Michael Lyle because I talked last segment about the State of the Union Address. But there's something that doesn't get nearly as much attention, but the Missouri State of the Judiciary Address. Sean, you actually listened to the state of
yes.
the judiciary.
I watched the whole thing, and I did last year as well.
And how does the Missouri Supreme Court Chief Justice Paul Wilson, how does he come across?
Well, he seems like a Hollywood casting. If you were to cast the gentlemanly Supreme Court Justice of this, you know, the Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court, you know, with the little the beautiful graying white hair and the mm-hmm. little beard and just seems so gentlemanly and grandfatherly and so wise. And then I looked at his bio and I realized that I'm actually a year older than him. It was just so impressive. He was such a gentleman, mm-hmm. and the way he described what judges do, that it was as if it were a favor to the defendant that I'm giving you this service of giving you the opportunity to spend 7.5 years thinking about the yes. error of your ways.
Oh, thank you. And during the break, we were talking about it, and I said, that kind of reminds me when my parents were spanking me and yeah. saying it was for my own good. And
this is going to hurt me more than it'll hurt
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't really think so. I don't think that's ever really true.
Yeah, it isn't. But he does it in that way. And in fact, he talked about what judges did, and I thought the way that he speaks and the way that he simplified it was so beautiful. Once again, talking to the state legislators, the Senate and the House of Representatives, and imploring them that when they speak about, you know, they'll disagree with what judges say.
Sure.
You can say, I disagree with the judge, and we're going to try and change the law or whatever, but don't try and tear down the courts. Don't talk about them being illegitimate. And he says that's very important. And here he's talking about exactly what it is that judges do, and I think he tells it beautifully.
Nearly 1.5 million times every year, courts apply the law to resolve the dispute in front of them. The law comes from the people in the form of the state and federal constitutions, and it comes from you in the form of the laws you write and the local ordinances and administrative regulations you authorize. Judges apply this law to the facts to resolve the disputes brought to them. That's it. Lawyers like to make simple things sound complicated, but that's all we do. Figure out the facts of each dispute, who did what to whom, and apply the law to resolve it. Being a judge isn't easy, but it's real simple.
I thought that was beautifully put.
It is. It's nice to know that I spend my day job. I'm not doing anything complicated.
Right.
I'm just resolving issues.
Yes.
That's all I'm doing.
I thought he said that very well. He also, getting to the idea of you know, especially decorum and just the importance of the law. He talked about the selective enforcement, you know, because we see that, you know, DACA, for example, mm-hmm. was selective enforcement. I've decided I'm not going to apply the law, and
right.
I'm going to have an executive order saying that I'm not going to, whether you agree with the objective or not. But anyway, he gave a common example of how important it is and why we follow the law.
Think about it this way. Every one of us has pulled up to a blinking red stoplight in the middle of the night with perfect visibility and not another car in sight. We still stop. Why? Because we believe so firmly in the rule of law, we don't even consciously think about it. If that belief falters, if we only follow the laws we agree with, or only when we want to, society won't be fit for any of us to live in. Everything we do depends on that public trust, and all of us have a stake in protecting and fostering it.
Yeah, see, that's beautifully put. I mean, obviously, he doesn't live in St. Louis when he was talking. The stoplight.
Well, I was thinking there, Sean, as he was saying that, I thought, please don't ask me under oath whether I fully stop at every stoplight, because I'll just refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me.
Yeah, but like I say, he puts it in a very simplistic way, but it is one of those things that when, and to me, it's a little naive, you know, and I wouldn't mind saying to him that when you're in there in the court, especially a criminal case, and there's that big giant seal behind the judge and everything,
sure.
And the judge believes with all his heart that it is respect of the law, and it is, you know, the respect of we, the people, sending our representatives to craft the law, when you know perfectly well it's the bailiff's gun.
Yes.
Is the reason that everybody goes along with this. It really is.
That's true.
You know, and that's, none of us ever agreed for this. There's not a human being alive who ever agreed on this system. This was, we inherited this. Mm-hmm. And we've never gone about changing it. But, you know, I his point, I think, is really well taken, that it's only, it only is what it is because we all agree on it. And when we stop agreeing on the basics, that's when we could start getting into trouble. And I think we're starting to see that.
We are. But also, I was just thinking, there was a St. Louis County judge that I was in front of many times over the years. His name was Judge Kenneth Romines. And Judge Romines was a well-known cigar smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was a circuit court judge, he would literally sit in his courtroom right below the sign that said no smoking, and he would smoke his cigar. And the idea was, who's going to tell the judge you can't smoke in your own courtroom? Nobody. So he would smoke in his courtroom. Nobody ever said a word, not even the bailiff that had the gun. But when he got promoted up to the Court of Appeals, where he was only one of several judges on the Court of Appeals, he would have to go out the back door and stand on the sidewalk to smoke his cigars because they wouldn't allow him to do that. But when he was in his own courtroom, he could do pretty much whatever he wanted to do. Yeah. But speaking of smoking, one of the things that Supreme Court Chief Justice Paul Wilson mentioned was the problem or the burden that this expungement of marijuana convictions is really having on the court system.
And that's one of the things that when you write a law, and he was talking about that to an extent, when you write a law and you the representatives of the people decide that this is how it should be, or in this particular case, it was the voters who decided that, you are dumping a huge pile on the clerks and the staff of these courts. And he thanked the legislature for the raise that state workers got last year and the one that hopefully they're hoping will get this year. And it is a huge burden on these people that, you know, they show up to work every day. They put in their 8 hours. They work hard. And now all of a sudden there's this expungement, which is this huge burden that is put on the staff. And these staffs aren't large, and they can't go out and just hire more people or temps.
Because they have budget constraints. But I was on this morning with Debbie Monterey and with Carol Daniel on Total Information AM talking about how, and I looked this up, in the history of Missouri, there have been 770,000 convictions for marijuana laws that would fall under this expungement. And the court system is supposed to go through and proactively seek out all of those cases and see whether they apply or not for an expungement. That's an enormous, monumental, Herculean task that's been thrusted onto the court system that they really don't have the budget to handle.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, too, is that the proposition that the voters passed did not include, and there's tax that's coming in from that. You would think that the tax that comes in, that part of that would be set aside for the administrative purposes. You know, for example, the $5 million that Mayor Jones wants to have as the pilot program for basic universal income.
Sure.
Well, you know, of the $5 million, $1 million goes towards administering it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like, well, they're getting their share, ha, ha, ha. Well, no, it costs money to do these things.
Sure.
And with the marijuana and the taxes that are being collected, they did not include that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that is something that's like, okay, we should expunge all the records. Okay, well, then some of the tax should go towards hiring staff to expunge the records.
Exactly. The last thing I want to talk with you about, of course, we're talking to Sean Michael Lyle here, KMOX News, is technology. Chief Justice Wilson addressed the idea that Missouri is really on, to some extent, the forefront of judiciary technology when it comes to automating the courts.
Yeah, for years they've had a $7 filing fee, which some people gripe about, and it's up for renewal. And so he begged the legislature to renew the $7 court filing fee, because that money has been going towards technology where they what used to be almost impossible to get, you can now get, actually go to courthouses, and all the documents are available in courthouses and certain libraries and other places.
Sure.
But and a lot of things you can do online at your own computer. But as of July, he said that any court document available anywhere in the system will be available online to the public. So everybody can access every document starting this summer. And that's because of this technology and the $7 filing fee. And he says in order to keep that going, they really need to keep the $7 filing fee going.
And that's truly amazing. Everything that I do with the court system now, it has to be done electronically. We electronically file. We get notices electronically. It's cheaper. It's faster. It's better in every way. But to have every document in our court system, we talk about having open courts. That's truly open courts when they're all available digitally.
Yeah, he was mentioning, too, the fascinating thing was that because of the pandemic, that so many things that were forced to be done over a video conferencing is now done routinely. And he says it's amazing how quickly you can go from, I can't imagine doing things mm-hmm. this way, to, how could we possibly do it any other way? And that was one example. So to have arraignments, you know, for security purposes and everything like that, just ease for everybody involved, that you can have a court hearing where a witness is over in this county and another witness is in that state, and the suspect is still in jail, all going mm-hmm. on at the same time. He says that has become so commonplace, and it has made things so efficient.
It really has. Yeah. I couldn't believe that you could have efficiency and court in the same sentence. But you truly can hear, and that's why I have to keep a blazer and a button-down collared shirt and a tie in my office, because I've had to do a lot of Zoom mediations with judges that I didn't know about, and you know, I had to change clothes right in there, but still wearing blue jeans, and it was just fine.
I'm sure they're going to have an Armani suit app that you can put on your phone that'll put you in a nice-looking suit.
I certainly hope we can get to that, because although I can't afford an Armani suit, but I'm sure someone can.
But the app.
But get the
you
app.
You know, like the one that makes you into a cat face.
Yeah, it'd be just like $5. You could have the app and be wearing an Armani suit.
And it'd always change your suit every day.
And make me into a 38 regular instead of the size that I really am. In any event, Sean Michael Lyle, thank you so much for joining us here to talk about the state of the judiciary. Hey, we've got some other news to cover. I want to talk about our own esteemed representative, Cori Bush, made the news today. We're going to talk about her testimony on Capitol Hill next on Answer Service. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in this evening. And, you know, when phone lines are open, there's no one I would rather talk to than Larry. Hey, Larry, welcome back to KMOX.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. And
It's been a while. It's been over a month.
It's a joy and a pleasure to hear your voice.
Cori Bush is an antinomianist. She's against the law.
Yes, she is, which is a great word, by the way.
It's a word I learned theologically.
Yes.
So anyways,
right.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't want to take up much of your time. I want to discuss the talk by Mr. Pinocchio last night from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little older than you. I'll be 72 in March. So I go all the way back to the Kennedy assassination. So right away, we've got three words that these Democrats like to use against us Republicans: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, and Russia. So when Kennedy was killed, the first thing that was put out, it was the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
It was Lee Harvey Oswald went to Russia. It was all about Lee Harvey Oswald. They had Lee Harvey Oswald pegged before they even did any investigation. It was pathetic. So I would like your opinion on these catchphrases, Social Security, Medicare, and the Russians. Because you know what? As a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, I get sick of the chastisement.
Yes. Well, I do, too. And that's why I think he was intentionally goading some of the members of the Freedom Caucus last night when he made that statement, because no one either party wants to get rid of Social Security. Now, it needs to be fiscally responsible, and I'm all in favor of trying to make it more fiscally responsible because it's going to be broke in 10 years. But there's no real movement to do away with Social Security. Yet he threw that line out there really for the sole purpose, in my mind, of getting boos from the Freedom Caucus, which in turn makes him look presidential. I mean, I often like to say, Larry, that if you want to look skinny, you stand next to a fat person. And that's literally what the president did last night. He allowed himself to look presidential, even when about a third of the words he said, I had no idea what those words were. Yet he looked presidential because others in the House did not.
I would give him a C on his presentation and an F on his facts.
Oh, his facts were just
about 75% of what he calls facts were big lies.
Yeah, I gave one instance, just one instance at the, earlier in the show tonight, Larry, when I pointed out that he claimed he's created 12 million new jobs, mm-hmm. when his own Bureau of Labor Statistics puts that number closer to 2 million. So he's only exaggerating by like 450%.
Well, at least he spared us the fact that when he took office, the inflation rate when Trump left was 1.5, and now it's about 8. But he keeps telling that same lie. He must think we're imbeciles. I don't understand why he keeps telling these lies over and over.
Yep, and we know for a fact, Larry, one of the major causes, the major drivers of inflation is increased government spending.
And that's
that's all that we've seen in the past 2 years is increased government spending, just running that money tree out as much as possible, giving away money. And when that happens, prices go up. It's a known economic factor. And yet he tries to blame it on Putin as far as the inflation goes. And really no one believes it.
So this man doesn't believe in sovereignty at all. They're flying over our air. They're flying their stuff over our land. The borders are wide open. We got all these deaths from this fentanyl. Why can't we do something to get this guy out of office? He's costing lives. He doesn't believe in sovereignty.
Well, the best thing that I think we can do at this point, Larry, to get him out of office is to encourage him to run for reelection.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to send, actually, I was thinking about mailing a postcard and taping a dime to a postcard and mailing it to the Biden for reelection campaign. That would then force him to mail me a thank you letter, which would cost him more than the cost of my postcard and a dime. And then that way, if we did that often enough, it would drain resources. Well, I guess in theory, it would drain resources from his campaign fund.
No, he's got the Chinese back in his.
But that's
you got to realize where he's getting his money from.
I know. Well, Hunter Biden keeps selling artwork for $600,000, and apparently only the Chinese are buying it. But, Larry, I'm glad that you finally called us back because I've been missing you, buddy.
All right. Have a good evening. Thank you for your service.
It's great to talk to you, sir. One of the things that happened today is that there were these hearings on Capitol Hill regarding Twitter. And I'm going to break down, I'm looking at the clock here and seeing if I've got time to play this clip. But here's what I want to talk about before we get to the clip. The hearings today truly exposed that the FBI and our government has been in a campaign to censor your speech, period. Now, most reasonable Americans, I've got some of my people at my law office, we talk about this all the time in terms of free speech issues. And reasonable people don't want the government controlling our speech. And yet that's exactly what the Biden administration was trying to do. For example, the Twitter files that we just heard, and we're going to hear more about this as these hearings unfold, reveal that the FBI was critically involved with and directing Twitter and presumably Facebook as well and other social media outlets, was specifically directing them about what to say and what to squelch. And folks, that's the quintessential definition of censorship, when the government controls what can be said and what cannot be said. And as these hearings go on, we're going to hear a lot more about this. But it's interesting that our own representative here from the city of St. Louis, Corey Bush, she apparently is in favor not just of the FBI directing social media about what they can say or can't say. Corey Bush is in favor of the government actually owning and controlling and directing all social media. You think I'm making that up? Here's what she said.
These social media companies have shown themselves unfit to maintain a digital public square with almost universal usage and vast power. Their purpose is not to facilitate healthy, fact-based discourse. It is to aggressively pursue profit for their billionaire executives and shareholders. Even when they make a good decision about removing a post or a user, it is only to make a profit. This existential problem will not be solved by asking these for-profit corporations to tweak their approach around the edges. We need to re-envision what the internet can be. Digital platforms, including social media, are here to stay, but we need to make sure that they operate for the public good and not the private interests. We need to invest in better alternatives to big tech, and we need...
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in this evening. And, you know, when phone lines are open, there's no one, no one I would rather talk to than Larry. Hey, Larry, welcome back to KMOX.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. And
It's been a while. It's been over a month.
It's a joy and a pleasure to hear your voice.
Cori Bush is an antinomianist. She's against the law.
Yes, she is, which is a great word, by the way.
It's a word I learned theologically.
Yes.
So anyways,
right.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't want to take up much of your time. I want to discuss the talk by Mr. Pinocchio last night from
yes,
the
sir.
Pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little older than you. I'll be 72 in March. So I go all the way back to the Kennedy assassination. So right away, we've got three words that these Democrats like to use against us Republicans: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, and Russia. So when Kennedy was killed, the first thing that was put out, it was the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
It was Lee Harvey Oswald went to Russia. It was all about Lee Harvey Oswald. They had Lee Harvey Oswald pegged before they even did any investigation. It was pathetic. So I would like your opinion on these catchphrases: Social Security, Medicare, and the Russians. Because you know what? As a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, I get sick of the chastisement.
Yes. Well, I do, too. And that's why I think he was intentionally goading some of the members of the Freedom Caucus last night when he made that statement, because no one either party wants to get rid of Social Security. Now, it needs to be fiscally responsible, and I'm all in favor of trying to make it more fiscally responsible because it's going to be broke in 10 years. But there's no real movement to do away with Social Security. Yet he threw that line out there really for the sole purpose, in my mind, of getting boos from the Freedom Caucus, which in turn makes him look presidential. I mean, I often like to say, Larry, that if you want to look skinny, you stand next to a fat person. And that's literally what the president did last night. He allowed himself to look presidential, even when about a third of the words he said, I had no idea what those words were. Yet he looked presidential because others in the House did not.
I would give him a C on his presentation and an F on his facts.
Oh, his facts were just
about 75% of what he calls facts were big lies.
Yeah, I gave one instance, just one instance at the, earlier in the show tonight, Larry, when I pointed out that he claimed he's created 12 million new jobs,
mm-hmm.
when his own Bureau of Labor Statistics puts that number closer to 2 million. So he's only exaggerating by like 450%.
Well, at least he spared us the fact that when he took office, the inflation rate when Trump left was 1.5 and now it's about 8. But he keeps telling that same lie. He must think we're imbeciles. I don't understand why he keeps telling these lies over and over.
Yep. And we know for a fact, Larry, one of the major causes, the major drivers of inflation is increased government spending. And that's
absolutely.
And that's all that we've seen in the past 2 years is increased government spending, just running that money tree out as much as possible, giving away money. And when that happens, prices go up. It's a known economic factor. And yet he tries to blame it on Putin as far as the inflation goes. And really, no one believes it.
So this man doesn't believe in sovereignty at all. They're flying over our air. They're flying their stuff over our land. The borders are wide open. we got all these deaths from this fentanyl. Why can't we do something to get this guy out of office? He's costing lives. He doesn't believe in sovereignty.
Well, the best thing that I think we can do at this point, Larry, to get him out of office is to encourage him to run for reelection.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to send, actually, I was thinking about mailing a postcard and taping a dime to a postcard and mailing it to the Biden for reelection campaign. That would then force him to mail me a thank you letter, which would cost him more than the cost of my postcard and a dime. And then that way, if we did that often enough, it would drain resources. Well, I guess in theory, it would drain resources from his campaign fund.
No, he's got the Chinese back in his.
But that's true.
You got to realize where he's getting his money from.
I know. Well, Hunter Biden's keeps selling artwork for $600,000, and apparently only the Chinese are buying it. But Larry, I'm glad that you finally called us back because I've been missing you, buddy.
All right. Have a good evening. Thank you for your service.
It's great to talk to you, sir. One of the things that happened today is that there were these hearings on Capitol Hill regarding Twitter. And I'm going to break down, I'm looking at the clock here and seeing if I've got time to play this clip. But here's what I want to talk about before we get to the clip. The hearings today truly exposed that the FBI and our government has been in a campaign to censor your speech, period. Now, most reasonable Americans, I've got some of my people at my law office, we talk about this all the time in terms of free speech issues. And reasonable people don't want the government controlling our speech. And yet that's exactly what the Biden administration was trying to do. For example, the Twitter files that we just heard, and we're going to hear more about this as these hearings unfold, reveal that the FBI was critically involved with and directing Twitter and presumably Facebook as well and other social media outlets, was specifically directing them about what to say and what to squelch. And folks, that's the quintessential definition of censorship, when the government controls what can be said and what cannot be said. And as these hearings go on, we're going to hear a lot more about this. But it's interesting that our own representative here from the city of St. Louis, Cori Bush, she apparently is in favor not just of the FBI directing social media about what they can say or can't say. Cori Bush is in favor of the government actually owning and controlling and directing all social media. You think I'm making that up? Here's what she said.
These social media companies have shown themselves unfit to maintain a digital public square with almost universal usage and vast power. Their purpose is not to facilitate healthy, fact-based discourse. It is to aggressively pursue profit for their billionaire executives and shareholders. Even when they make a good decision about removing a post or a user, it is only to make a profit. This existential problem will not be solved by asking these for-profit corporations to tweak their approach around the edges. We need to re-envision what the internet can be. Digital platforms, including social media, are here to stay, but we need to make sure that they operate for the public good and not the private interests. We need to invest in better alternatives to big tech, and we need to establish public ownership and control to ensure these platforms serve everyone fairly.
Did you hear what she said? She said public ownership and control of all social media platforms. That's her words. That's her intent. That's her desire. Now, nothing scares me more than a government that controls what we say. And folks, this is not a right or a left issue. I'm not saying I don't want the Biden administration controlling free speech. I'm not saying that. I don't want any administration controlling free speech. I don't want the Trump administration. I don't want the future DeSantis administration. I don't want the Biden administration controlling what you and I get to say on a daily basis. And social media is where we say it. And the FBI was directly involved, and we've learned this from the information that's been provided by Elon Musk at Twitter, the FBI not only directed what Twitter could say and what they couldn't say, but the emails actually showed that there was a figure in the FBI, there was an FBI special assistant, special agent rather, from San Francisco, who was in charge of asking Twitter executives to control certain speech and to squelch certain speech. And then at some point, this FBI agent actually invited an agent of the CIA to come in and help guide what was said and what wasn't said. Now, I want you to grasp on that. The CIA has no authority by law to operate within the United States. The CIA, by law, has no authority to direct, control, surveil, or engage in U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. And yet we know from the Twitter files that not only the FBI was involved with squelching free speech at Twitter, but the CIA was involved in squelching free speech. That bothers me as a citizen. That bothers me as an attorney who stands up for the First Amendment. And it bothers me as someone who is a zealous advocate of free speech, because once free speech goes, then so goes freedom of thought. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm going to get a little bit more information on this and deal with a couple of other stories that we have leading into the end of the hour. Thanks for sticking around with us on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. It should come as no surprise that someone that talks on the radio is in favor of free speech. But I'm not just in favor of free speech for me. I'm in favor of free speech for thee. And if you look at social media as being truly the warehouse, the clearinghouse of free speech in this country today, I simply cannot understand how we could have a government official, an elected official, that's actually advocating for the government to control and to actually own all of our social media. To me, that is just unfathomable that a person who's been elected to office would take that position. But what we've developed in this country now, we've seen it with cancel culture, is that people are afraid to express their ideas. And it's no coincidence that a poll came out in Wisconsin on Monday of this week, found that 60% of students at the University of Wisconsin, actually it's 57% of students at the University of Wisconsin, are actually afraid to share their opinions in class simply due to the intolerance on campuses today. And this isn't the only poll that shows this. This poll, within 2 or 3 percentage points, matches exactly polls that are coming from other universities in this country. And the survey specifically, it asked students if there have been times when they wanted to express their thoughts in class but decided to remain silent. And 57% of students said yes. And 31% of students in this Wisconsin poll said that they feared that a complaint might be filed against them simply for expressing their views. Now, let that sink in for a second. Almost 40% of students in this poll said that they thought if they expressed an opinion in class, that there would be a complaint lodged against them with the university. Now, I know a lot of folks like hyperbole. I'm not a big fan of hyperbole. It's funny. But when people compare this to 1984, that's not all that much of hyperbole anymore. Where in 1984, if you expressed opinions that were contrary to the status quo, you were imprisoned. And we're not imprisoning people for that right now, but we are canceling them in our culture. And people feel on campus that if they simply express an opinion that the teacher disagrees with, that they might actually have a complaint lodged against them. And this is when we have the First Amendment, the very first amendment to our Constitution, protects freedom of speech. Now, I think that these polls, when you look at this, you look at this problem as a whole, it's really starting on our college campuses and has moved out into our culture. But it's been going on for decades. It's been going on for decades. I remember when I was in college, even before law school, I was in a criminal justice class, and I've told this story before on the air, I think, but I was in a criminal justice class, and I expressed an opinion that the teacher, the professor, didn't agree with. And she specifically said, "Mr. Young, you understand that there are 28 other students in this class who almost all of them would disagree with you as well." And I laughed and I said, "I understand that, professor, and I would suggest that you go out and get another 28 students and I'll debate them all." And everybody laughed, and I ended up getting an A in that class. I didn't fail it. But I think if I would have expressed that opinion today, that I probably would have failed that class. And so in retrospect, I have a lot of respect for that professor for not failing me in that class, because I don't think that would happen today. But when you look at this issue as a whole, it's clear that these polls at both at University of Wisconsin and elsewhere are really an indictment on the entire teaching academy. I mean, we've converted our universities. They're supposed to be the bastions of free speech, of learning, of dealing with the marketplace of ideas where ideas clash and the better ideas rise to the forefront and the lesser ideas are defeated. We've converted our universities from that type of a system into simply echo chambers that I think overwhelmingly reflect, usually almost overwhelmingly reflect, liberal ideas. And I don't mind liberal ideas. In fact, I enjoy debating against liberal ideas. But to have those ideas squelched, to punish people for having a contrary view, that's not democracy. That's not freedom. That's totalitarianism. And if you look in China right now, China has something called a social credit system. What does that mean? Social credit system means that there are surveillance cameras throughout China that record where you go with facial recognition. It records where you go, what you do, who you see. And it monitors things that are posted online. And if you post things online that are contrary to the government's approval, then your score goes down. And when your social credit score goes down, you're suddenly prevented from buying a home. You're prevented from buying a car. You're prevented from obtaining employment in the open labor market. Now, we're not there, but can't you see the parallels between a system that punishes you in communist China objectively and a system that punishes you in the United States subjectively? Either way, you're being punished for expressing views that are outside of the mainstream. And by virtue of that in China, we understand the purpose of that type of social credit system is to shape, to mold, and to control not just what you say, but also what you think and what you believe. And if you look at this in our country as well, even though it's a subjective system, not an objective punishment, but even in a subjective punishment system, this goal is exactly the same: to mold, to shape, and control not just what you say, but what you think, what you believe, and whom you support. And our founding fathers, they weren't perfect, but they weren't fools. And when the First Amendment was given the very first and prominent place in our Constitution amendments, it was put there for a reason, because our founding fathers believed in the idea that this is the greatest marketplace of ideas in the country. We don't have a king. We don't have a monarchy. We don't have a theocracy. We have a democracy where ideas rise to the top. And yet this whole system, whether it's with our government or whether it's with our universities, to control what you say and think, to me, is scary. And I hope you believe the same thing. And certainly if you want to email me about this, always love feedback. Be Young at harrisdowell.com. Hey, stick around. Coming up next, the best of Dave Glover. I will see you next week right here on Wednesday night on At Your Service, KMOX. It should come as no surprise that someone that talks on the radio is in favor of free speech. But I'm not just in favor of free speech for me. I'm in favor of free speech for thee. And if you look at social media as being truly the warehouse, the clearinghouse of free speech in this country today, I simply cannot understand how we could have a government official, an elected official, that's actually advocating for the government to control and to actually own all of our social media. To me, that is just unfathomable that a person who's been elected to office would take that position. But what we've developed in this country now, we've seen it with cancel culture, is that people are afraid to express their ideas. And it's no coincidence that a poll came out in Wisconsin on Monday of this week, found that 60% of students at the University of Wisconsin, actually it's 57% of students at the University of Wisconsin, are actually afraid to share their opinions in class simply due to the intolerance on campuses today. And this isn't the only poll that shows this. This poll, within 2 or 3 percentage points, matches exactly polls that are coming from other universities in this country. And the survey specifically, it asked students if there have been times when they wanted to express their thoughts in class but decided to remain silent. And 57% of students said yes. And 31% of students in this Wisconsin poll said that they feared that a complaint might be filed against them simply for expressing their views. Now, let that sink in for a second. Almost 40% of students in this poll said that they thought if they expressed an opinion in class, that there would be a complaint lodged against them with the university. Now, I know a lot of folks like hyperbole. I'm not a big fan of hyperbole. It's funny. But when people compare this to 1984, that's not all that much of hyperbole anymore. Where in 1984, if you expressed opinions that were contrary to the status quo, you were imprisoned. And we're not imprisoning people for that right now, but we are canceling them in our culture. And people feel on campus that if they simply express an opinion that the teacher disagrees with, that they might actually have a complaint lodged against them. And this is when we have the First Amendment, the very first amendment to our Constitution, protects freedom of speech. Now, I think that these polls, when you look at this, you look at this problem as a whole, it's really starting on our college campuses and has moved out into our culture. But it's been going on for decades. It's been going on for decades. I remember when I was in college, even before law school, I was in a criminal justice class. And I've told this story before on the air, I think. But I was in a criminal justice class and I expressed an opinion that the teacher, the professor, didn't agree with. And she specifically said, "Mr. Young, you understand that there are 28 other students in this class who almost all of them would disagree with you as well." And I laughed and I said, "I understand that, professor, and I would suggest that you go out and get another 28 students and I'll debate them all." And everybody laughed and I ended up getting an A in that class. I didn't fail it. But I think if I would have expressed that opinion today, that I probably would have failed that class. And so in retrospect, I have a lot of respect for that professor for not failing me in that class, because I don't think that would happen today. But when you look at this issue as a whole, it's clear that these polls at both at University of Wisconsin and elsewhere are really an indictment on the entire teaching academy. I mean, we've converted our universities. They're supposed to be the bastions of free speech, of learning, of dealing with the marketplace of ideas where ideas clash and the better ideas rise to the forefront and the lesser ideas are defeated. We've converted our universities from that type of a system into simply echo chambers that I think overwhelmingly reflect, usually almost overwhelmingly reflect, liberal ideas. And I don't mind liberal ideas. In fact, I enjoy debating against liberal ideas. But to have those ideas squelched, to punish people for having a contrary view, that's not democracy. That's not freedom. That's totalitarianism. And if you look in China right now, China has something called a social credit system. What does that mean? Social credit system means that there are surveillance cameras throughout China that record where you go with facial recognition. It records where you go, what you do, who you see. And it monitors things that are posted online. And if you post things online that are contrary to the government's approval, then your score goes down. And when your social credit score goes down, you're suddenly prevented from buying a home. You're prevented from buying a car. You're prevented from obtaining employment in the open labor market. Now, we're not there, but can't you see the parallels between a system that punishes you in communist China objectively and a system that punishes you in the United States subjectively? Either way, you're being punished for expressing views that are outside of the mainstream. And by virtue of that in China, we understand the purpose of that type of social credit system is to shape, to mold, and to control not just what you say, but also what you think and what you believe. And if you look at this in our country as well, even though it's a subjective system, not an objective punishment, but even in a subjective punishment system, this goal is exactly the same. To mold, to shape, and control not just what you say, but what you think, what you believe, and whom you support. And our founding fathers, they weren't perfect, but they weren't fools. And when the First Amendment was given the very first and prominent place in our Constitution amendments, it was put there for a reason. Because our founding fathers believed in the idea that this is the greatest marketplace of ideas in the country. We don't have a king. We don't have a monarchy. We don't have a theocracy. We have a democracy where ideas rise to the top. And yet this whole system, whether it's with our government or whether it's with our universities, to control what you say and think, to me, is scary. And I hope you believe the same thing. And certainly if you want to email me about this, always love feedback. BeYoung@HarrisDowell.com. Hey, stick around. Coming up next, the best of Dave Glover. I will see you next week right here on Wednesday night on At Your Service, KMOX.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.